So we celebrate today this feast of the solemnity of our Lord's ascension into heaven. We begin with the point that St. Paul makes, praying that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope that belongs to the call that is given to us. The call that is given to us is ultimately to be saints. It is to be able to get to heaven. Without the ascension of our blessed Lord, we couldn't get to heaven because it wasn't open to us. And while that by itself is grounds for great thanksgiving and great rejoicing, God wasn't content just to stop there. It wasn't enough just to say, all right, heaven is open, now you guys have the opportunity to get there. That by itself would be beyond anything we could ask for. But God will never be outdone in generosity. And so we look then at what it is that happened with the ascension. It is something which is so far beyond our imagination that it is, on the natural level, impossible. Our Lord took our humanity not only into heaven, but to the very throne of God. Our humanity is infinitely beneath God. Everything created, including the highest angels, are infinitely beneath God. But the angels are, by nature, way above us. But when we listen again to what St. Paul talks about, he talks about how God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that can be named. He has elevated our humanity even above the angels. Now, Our Lady also is higher than the angels because she loves more than they do. So a mere human person has been raised to a level higher than the angels. But what we're talking about now is something even more extraordinary, because we're talking about the fact that our human nature is as close now to, is infinitely beyond everything as it can possibly be, because our humanity is united to the divinity of Jesus, and it is seated on the throne of God. It makes perfect sense, because when our Lord took our humanity to himself, it is what's called a hypostatic union, which means it can never, ever be separated. His humanity and his divinity will be united for all eternity. So if we look at it that way, yes, it makes sense that our humanity will have to be seated on the throne of God because it's hypostatically united to the divinity. But if you look at it on the natural level, it makes no sense. It is impossible. How can something lower than the angels not only be lifted higher than the angels, but brought to someone with someone who is infinitely beyond us? Thankfully, as Jesus himself taught us, and as the angel Gabriel told our Blessed Lady, for God, all things are possible. And that is our great hope, because we profess our belief not only in the things that happened to our blessed Lord, but in ourselves, in our own resurrection, and that we too would be able to get to heaven. How? We have to make a distinction between what we're celebrating today and what we will celebrate in a couple of months with Our Lady's Assumption. To be assumed into heaven means to be taken up by the power of another. In other words, Our Lady couldn't get there by herself. Neither can we. We will not be able to rise from the dead by our own power, and we aren't going to be able to go to heaven by our own power. It's going to be the power of God taking us up to heaven. But Jesus is God. And therefore, he ascended by his own power. He wasn't assumed, taken up by the power of another, but ascended by his own power. Now that, again, is where we have to come back to what we heard in the second reading. Because St. Paul talks specifically about the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accord with the exercise of his might, which he worked by raising Jesus from the dead and seating him at his right hand. That power is at work in you. This is the part that's even more astounding for us. We should, and as we are, rejoice. We're rejoicing in what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus was brought into heaven and seated at God's right hand. We talked about that in the responsorial psalm. We said, God mounts his throne amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid trumpet blasts. Think about what that means. God has always been God. He was already, if you will, on his throne before he even began creating anything. So it's not like, okay, now I created everything and now I'll ascend to my throne. No, he's always been God. He's always infinitely beyond everything else that exists. So if God is going to mount his throne, what does that mean? That can only be talking about our humanity going up united with the divinity of Jesus. Because as God, he was already there. And we must also understand that when God became one of us, he didn't leave heaven. It's not like he left the throne, came down to earth, and now he's returned. He's God. He never left heaven. He just simply came to be with us as well. And so when our Lord ascended into heaven as God, he was already there. It is his humanity that was not there. His humanity has now mounted the throne of God. And we rejoice in that, and rightly so. Even when we heard in the gospel reading, an abominable translation again, but it says they did him homage. It's not what it says. It says they worshiped him. They worshiped him. They recognize he is God and they worshiped him. That's what we're doing here today. We're here to worship the Lord because he is God. But we also rejoice because now he has done the impossible and taken our humanity and seated it on the very throne of God himself. And that is the power, St. Paul says, that is at work within you and me. That's really astounding. So if that's the case, now we need to take that to the next level. So St. Paul prays that we would be given a wisdom, a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in knowledge of the Lord. So the power of God is already there, already at work, so that we can come to a greater knowledge of the Lord. That greater knowledge is necessary because, as St. Thomas tells us, we cannot love what we do not know. So if we want to love the Lord more, we have to know him more. The more we know, the more we can love. That again becomes critical because, go back to the first words of the first reading. It is addressed to Theophilus. Theophilus is the union of two Greek words that mean a lover of God. It's addressed to you. It may originally have been addressed to one of Caiaphas's children, whose name was Theophilus, but regardless, it is addressed to you as one who loves God. So if you want to love God more, you have to know him more. That's what St. Paul is praying for. In fact, I would recommend when you get home, go back and reread the second reading. It is packed. It's enough to blow you away. And when you read this, it's a typical St. Paul. It is one great, big, long, huge sentence. All those things that he's talking about are about you. And it's all packed. Read it, pray about it, ponder it deeply, because this is the reality that's happening inside of you right now. This is why St. Paul then also will tell us that we should fix our hearts on the things of heaven, not on the things of earth. The things of heaven, he says, where Christ is already seated at God's right hand. But elsewhere, he reminds us, because we are members of the mystical body of Christ, so you cannot separate the head from the members. Jesus is already seated at God's right hand. Therefore, St. Paul says, you are already seated at God's right hand in Christ. Obviously, not physically, but spiritually, we are already there. We are baptized into Jesus Christ. He's in heaven. Therefore, we are united with him in that way. He remains united with us here on earth. We are united with him already in heaven. And if that's the case, that's why St. Paul is saying, therefore, fix your heart on the things of heaven, not on the things of earth. That's even why he's praying that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. It's about the heart, so that we can love the Lord, so that we can truly be that Theophilus that St. Paul is talking about in that St. Luke is talking about in the first reading. That's our dignity. That's our call. That's what St. Paul is talking about in the second reading, the hope of our call, which is to be able to get to heaven. So that's where our hope is, because we know and love the Lord, then that's the way we need to be living our lives, focused on the Lord, focused on the things of heaven where we want to be. So you can look within your own life and ask yourself, where really is my heart focused? Is it on the things of earth, or is it on the things of heaven? Obviously, we're living in this world, and we have to be able to make provisions for that and deal with it. But we are to live in this world with our eyes focused on the next world. Now you look again at the first reading, and you hear the angels kind of making fun of the apostles because they're just staring up into heaven. Why are you looking up into the sky? It isn't going to help us to look that way. That's why St. Paul prays that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. Put your hearts on the things of heaven. You can look to the sky, but you're not going to see anything there. Put your heart on the things of heaven. You will see everything you need to see. And the more that we can love the Lord, the more that revelation is going to be given to us. The deeper will be our understanding, and consequently, the more we will be able to love. That's what our Lord wants for us. Again, just look at what he's already done, what we're celebrating today. He's put your humanity. This isn't just his, because his human nature is the same as ours. That has been elevated to a divine level. And you are elevated in him. He doesn't want a little bit for you. He wants the greatest for you. He wants you to have the highest position in heaven that you can possibly have, so you can know and love him to the fullness of your ability for the rest of eternity. So we recognize, as we look at all these things, that yes, while we are rejoicing in what happened 2,000 years ago in the ascension of our blessed Lord and his glorification at the right hand of the Father, this isn't just about what happened 2,000 years ago. It's what's happening right now. It's what's happening right now inside of you and me. Not only are we worshiping the Lord the way the apostles did, but we're all these things that St. Paul talked about, praying that the power of God, the power at work within us, the same power St. Paul says that raised Jesus from the dead and brought him to be seated at the right hand of the Father, that is working in you right now. So the more that we focus on the things of the earth, the less that we're going to know and love Jesus. The more that we focus on the things of heaven, the more we're going to know and to love the Lord. And the more we can know him and love him, the greater will that joy be that is ours, and the rejoicing that is ours, and the realization of all these things that we're talking about, how that's happening within us. That's the kind of enlightenment that God wants for you, not just for this time of life, but ultimately for eternity. And so we need then to follow the advice of St. Paul, not only praying that the spirit of wisdom would be given to us to be able to enlighten our hearts, but to be able through that wisdom to be able to say with St. Paul that we want to put our hearts not on the things of earth, but on the things of heaven, where Jesus is already seated at God's right hand.